welcome everyone who's here joining us from other campuses, living rooms around. I want to welcome the kids today. We've got a Daniel and Will over here. We got Ethan. We got two of my kids, Karis and Joanna, and we have Isaac and Hannah in the back. But we have other kids who are not able to be back yet. So the kids who are live stream, you guys might be watching it later today or you're watching it now. But I want to say hi to all the kids who are probably here one way or another. So Mark and Kiera, I know you're not going to be here today, but you're probably watching live stream. So good morning to you guys. Michaela and Paul, we can't wait until these kids are back. Michaela and Paul, Sophie and Rachel, Gideon and Liliana. We got so many kids, Zach and Juniper, Aubrey and Aubrey's new little sister who's probably coming next month. We're excited about that. And we haven't seen Tiffany in so long. She's been pregnant this whole time and we've missed it. You know, we've missed this whole journey, but she's most likely having a baby next month. And Madeline and Akea, so many kids who are part of our family, but not necessarily here. So we welcome the kids. We are looking forward to that time when we can all be back together again. But for now, we're split. We're a divided family, kind of, sort of. But we get to worship together. So today we're going to talk about faith. Strange thing, we talk about faith in a place like this, right? So before we jump into the music and everything we're going to do today, I just want to get you to kind of churn your brain and come up with, how would you define faith? If you had 10 words or less, faith is, how would you define it? And throughout this morning, between now and the beginning of the message, I would like to get as many text messages as I can, whether you're live stream or whether you're here. Text message me. I'll read some of these answers, but I won't identify who it is, okay? So you can just give it your best shot. But how would you define faith? Just text to 610-894-9520 between now and the beginning of this morning's message. And I would love to hear how would you define faith? That's what we're going to talk about today. And kids, you guys can use your parents' phone if you don't have one. But I would love to hear some kids' definitions. So Isaac, I want to hear Isaac's definition of faith. How old is Isaac? 9 months. From the lips of children and infants, right? Yes! Yes! Was that Hannah or Isaac? Yes. All right, Isaac. Thank you. All right. So we're going to sing a couple songs. We're talking about Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, the ancient document that records all these people from the Hall of Faith from way back when. So we're singing some old songs with a new twist. And these are fairly familiar to us. So hopefully you can sing out and join the ancients as we sing to the Almighty, the one who blessed us so much, who loves to bless. So rise to your feet. Come thou fount. Come thou King. The source of every blessing.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name. Upon it, name of God's redeeming love. I was lost in utter darkness, till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin, where your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your prize to you we sing. Of our blessing. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I the strength to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Come thou fount, come thou king, come thou precious prince of peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing.
Amen. The source of all blessing is God Almighty. Blessed assurance. We have wind issues at times, so we have to mitigate against that. It's not going to stop us from singing, all right? Blessed assurance.
My Savior, I belong. This my story. glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, born of His washed in His blood.
Lord God, we come before You today, confident of this blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. We have received Jesus, we put our faith in Him, and He is ours. And You intend to bless us, and You are such a good God. So God, lift our spirits today, lift our hearts up as we come into Your presence, as we open up Your Word. God, we sing to You, we praise Your name, You are good. And Your Word is good. Your heart is good, Your plan is good, and Your ways are good. So, Lord, I pray that we will enjoy Your goodness today. We'd be encouraged in Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, you can have a seat, and you can relax your masks if you'd like to. If you're comfortable with that, you're welcome to do that. And Deanna is going to start out with a reading. She's going to read our scripture today from Hebrews chapter 11. I believe there is a slide for that.
Hebrews 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people are still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Thank you, Deanna. That's a great passage. Hebrews chapter 11. Are we good, Shannon? Yeah, okay. I love Hebrews chapter 11. This is the great hall of faith. The hall of faith highlights all these Old Testament heroes of the faith who gave themselves to God. They lived their lives trusting God. There's major emphasis on certain ones, like 10 of these Old Testament saints. Six people are given kind of honorable mention, and then a whole bunch are just listed. And then this is just a list later in the chapter. All these people had God-pleasing faith before the time of Jesus, before Jesus came. I'll mention something about that in a little bit. But since this is the great faith chapter, I want to start by defining faith. And I want to get your definition. So if you didn't send one yet, send it now. I'm going to read some of the ones that I got. I got a whole bunch here. Let's see. I'll start at the beginning. Faith, complete and full confidence in God.
Faith means to be faithful to God. Faith is action according to things you have not seen or received. So some good definitions, guys. Then some are online. Thank you, guys, those of you who are online. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit that comes from believing in a faithful God. It's the positive expectation that God will do what he said he will do. How are you guys doing with your faith? I got several more here. Faith to me is the belief in something for which there is evidence that leads to a greater conclusion that this is longer than 10 words, okay, but that's okay. I'll talk to you about that later. No, that's okay. Let me start over. Faith to me is the belief in something for which there is evidence that leads to a greater conclusion that must either be accepted in its entirety or rejected. Seeing an apple fall is evidence of gravity. Gravity is faith. Seeing Christ is evidence of the Father's love and sovereign plan. All right, good. Let's see. Faith is the belief that positive things will happen by a power or force bigger than I, not in a not so positive time. Good. Faith is believing what God says and living as if it's true. Here's a couple of our kids. One, can we buy another lawn chair? And then there's this one, fully following Jesus and leading other people to him. Good. Faith is knowing God is real and in charge and able to take care of all I face. Faith is trusting him to work it all out for the best. Faith, belief in something unproved, unseen, that creates action. Some of you guys did a really good job with the 10 words or less. Others of you, not so much. Faith is the belief in something positive in a not-so-positive time. I think I read that one, but that was shared from online. Faith is believing in something wholeheartedly. Good. Good definitions. 10 words or less. Some of you did great at that. Others, not so much, but that's all right. So thank you, online audience, those of you guys who contributed too. There are quite a few. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 starts off, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's kind of a definition, kind of not, kind of a description. Sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Some of your definitions covered that kind of idea. I just want to put it in super simple language. Faith is confidence in God. We're talking about Christian faith here, right? So you could have faith in a lot of different things, but we're talking about faith in the God who made us. So faith is confidence in God. Even though I can't see him, God is here. His promises can be counted on. So can we work with that really simple definition? Anybody have a major problem with that? We can have a little discourse. Faith is confidence in God. Can we go with that for now? I got one nodded head, two, three, four. Okay, good. All right. Faith, I don't want to have a revolt or anything like that. Faith is confidence in God. This is what the ancients were commended for. Verse 2, the ancients. Who are the ancients? These are the Old Testament people. People from before Jesus' time, these people had faith. And I want to take a second to camp on that for a minute because we've been talking about the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, how much better the New Covenant under Jesus is. But these people lived under the Old Covenant. And they're commended for their faith. So we don't want to poo-poo all the people from the Old Testament. You didn't have Jesus, you didn't have faith. No, they had faith. They followed God's law because they had faith. And they looked forward to the Messiah who was coming because of their faith. So it's cool that we have all these people from even before Jesus. Everyone in Hebrews 11 comes before Jesus. All of them. And they're commended for their faith. So I think that's important. So confidence in God. Some of you, like especially the one from online who gave a 25-word answer, you may feel like this is too simplistic. So we're going to add some layers to this faith idea in Hebrews 11. What kind of confidence do we have in God? What's this confidence about? What can we be confident in God in? Verse 3 starts us off. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so what is seen was not made out of what was visible. We're talking about creation. So the very first thing they say, by faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command. God is our maker. By faith, we have confidence that God is our maker. We reject the notion that the naturalistic scientists say it all started by accident. There is no God. We have no problem with scientists who do science, but scientists who believe there is no God, we would disagree with that. God is our maker. He started it. And he did it the way he said he did it in the Bible. So the universe was formed at God's command. By faith, we take that. At God's command. Genesis describes it. God said, let there be light. And it happened. And every single day. And God said, he spoke, and it happened. He made something out of nothing. Every day of creation, he made the water, the sky, the stars, the fish, the bird, the mammals, and us. And what was seen was not made of what was visible. God is the beginning of all things. And the scientists have no explanation for the beginning of all things. They just assume it, well, I guess it always was. God started it by faith. That's the beginning of our faith. We have a designer, and he's good. So by faith, I have confidence that God is my maker. Next, he goes to one of the first human beings that ever lived. Verse 4, we've got Abel. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he's dead. His faith is still crying out from way back then. And as I'm trying to study, okay, why did he list this person? Why did he list that person? How is this adding to our understanding of faith? Well, from the beginning, people have been offering sacrifices to God. Not just believing that God is their maker, but also that God is their master. And so Genesis chapter 4 tells us about Abel, and a lot of you know the story. A lot of you have read this before, but listen, Genesis 4, 2. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. One had animals, one had vegetables. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Cain was upset. God did not accept his offering. From the beginning, people have offered sacrifices to God. From day one, Cain and Abel, two brothers, they both offered sacrifices. And you think about it, giving offerings, it's a way to show honor and submission to one who's greater. So it makes sense that you do this. They both gave sacrifices. Cain gave God a sacrifice. Abel gave God his best. And the point of this story, it's kind of a confusing story. Well, why did Cain get upset and what happened and how come God didn't accept his sacrifice? The point is not that God prefers meat to vegetables. That's not, he's a meat eater and we've got to feed God. No, the point is that Abel's offering was by faith. There had been some communication between God and them before. He didn't just believe God was his maker. He believed God was his master. He was going to give him his best. He's going to follow God's instruction. It matters. So Abel showed this faith. Cain is referenced in Hebrews 11, but he's not listed as part of the hall of faith. Side note on this, we're talking about Cain and Abel. Just being real, there's a lot of people in our world who do not believe Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, real people. Abel is listed in the hall of faith. You don't put cartoon characters in the hall of faith, right? You don't put fables in the hall of faith. So the New Testament, specifically Hebrews, says Abel was a real person. He's not just some kind of idea. He's not some kind of story. He's a real person. The New Testament confirms that the Old Testament is accurate, even all the way back to Adam and Eve. They're real people. At least that's what Hebrews believes, and that's what I believe. So Abel follows God. He does it right. God is pleased. You'd think that things would work out well for Abel, right? But you know the story. He's the first murder victim in the history of humanity. He pleased God. And he was killed. He died at the hands of his jealous brother. From day one, it's like, wait a minute. He followed God. Why aren't you blessing that? Well, in a sense, he was blessed. He got to be with God in a more personal way than anyone else before then. But sometimes things don't make sense. Our faith has to be strong enough to get through when it doesn't make sense. Abel was murdered. He's in the hall of faith, and his testimony still speaks, even though he's dead. Well, let's keep going. We got all these different people in this hall of faith. The next one is Enoch, right? So we covered Abel, we covered creation. Now we've got Enoch. Who is this guy? Why is this guy mentioned? How did he make the hall of faith? He's an interesting guy. Verse 5 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. Abel's murdered. He's in the hall of faith. Enoch never died. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Chariot of fire like Elijah, we don't know. But he, before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. What did this guy do to be commended as one who pleased God? How did he get this treatment? He was especially noticed and unique, and God called him out. You, I notice you. What about his faith made him stand out? If you know the story, it goes back to Genesis chapter 5. So we're zipping through Genesis. We're all the way to chapter 5 now, right? When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah, oldest man who ever lived. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. I didn't mistype that. That's 300, not 30. He walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, just in case you weren't sure, Enoch lived 365 years. Do the math. 365. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. We scratch our heads at that. How in the world do you live 365 years? It doesn't work that way today, but that doesn't mean it didn't work that way back then. And this guy, he was the youngest one outside of Abel. We don't know Abel's age when he died, but you look at the family tree in Genesis 5, he's the youngest one by 400 years. His son Methuselah was 969 when he died. That's crazy. My mind just can't comprehend it. But just because it's not that way now, does it people like, no. But Enoch is also in the hall of faith. He's not a fable. He's not some made-up character. And what was unique about his faith? Enoch walked with God. That's what it says. He walked with God. It emphasizes it a couple times. So what kind of confidence can we have in God? Not just that he's our maker or he's our master, but we are made for relationship with him. That's what stood out to God with Enoch. He walked with God. From everything we can tell, it was the most important thing to him. We are made for relationship with God. How many people don't understand that and don't have that, don't experience that? Faith is confidence in God. He's our maker. He's our master. And we've been made for relationship with God. So those are some layers to faith. This is what faith is. Now take another step. We get to verse 6, and I think this is like one of the keys in this chapter. This is going to take us another step into what is faith. Really, specifically, what is God-pleasing faith? A lot of people believe that God exists. It's not enough for God. I mean, yeah, he's worthy of that, but he's worthy of more. So God-pleasing faith, that's what we get in verse 6. This is really important to our walk and to living a life that pleases God. Listen to verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, okay, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You want to please God? You have to believe not just that he exists, but that he's looking to reward you, that he wants to bless you. This is the God that we worship, the God who wants to bless us right back. We lift our hands to him, and he loves us and blesses us. But it begins by faith. So he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Here's how I'm wording it. God-pleasing faith, confidence in God's benevolence. He's kind. He wants to bless you. Benevolence, just a big word, kids, that he just wants to be good to you. He wants to give you what's right and what's good and what's best. So confidence, not just that he exists, but he wants to bless me. You cannot please God unless you believe that about God. He wants to bless you. Noah and Abraham are the next two examples. These are guys who believe that. So verse 7, we get to hear about Noah. So this is just part of the support that God is a benevolent God. He wants to be kind. Interesting, he uses Noah as an example. Listen to verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, that's a real tight abbreviation of this big story, several chapters long in the Bible. So, kids, one of your next steps may be like, Mom, Dad, could you read me one of these stories that we talked about? We only got a snapshot. Like, just ask your parents to read you one of these stories that might maybe stands out to you. But Noah, God tells him, Noah, I'm about to start over. The wickedness in the humanity, the wickedness in the world is so great, it's past the point of no return. So God said to Noah, I'm going to bring a flood, a really, really, really bad flood. It's going to wipe out every man, every bird, every beast, because the evil in the world is that bad. So, okay, this is emphasizing that God wants to bless you. Why does God tell Noah about this? Because he wants to bless Noah. He wants to save the world through Noah. He wants to save Noah and his family. He wants to preserve the human race, the animal kingdom. So he tells Noah, this is what I'm going to do, Noah, but I'm not going to destroy everyone. You are going to help me repopulate the earth. So in holy fear, he builds an ark. Never seen rain before. Had no idea, but he believed God meant business. He believed not just that God was going to destroy the earth, but he wanted to save Noah and his family. He respected God in holy fear. He respected who God was and his authority. But ultimately, he built the ark because he believed God intended to save them. And he got in the ark, and it all happened just as God had said. So, again, we have Noah, which is another character in the Bible that skeptics attack as it's not a real thing, it's not really how it went. Hebrews 11 is convinced that Noah's a real person, and he believed God, and God blessed him. So we've got Noah. Now let's jump over to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah also had confidence in God's benevolence, but their faith wasn't perfect. And these people maybe are encouraging to us because our faith isn't perfect either. But let's read that section again. Verse 8 to 12. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he'd later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. Ladies, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob and Sarah, his wife, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he's past age, Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who'd made the promise. And so from this one man, and he is good as dead. I'd hate to be described that way. Anyway, this one man came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Abraham and Sarah walked by faith. And we've talked about Abraham before, because he comes up a lot in Hebrews. And the author has compared Abraham with Jesus. And obviously Jesus is better. Obviously Jesus is superior to Abraham, Moses, all these guys. But the author still has great respect for Abraham as a man of faith. Abraham comes about 400 years after Genesis 12, after the previous example. And so here's Abraham, 400 years after the flood, and God approaches Abraham. Here's another story you could read this week. But God approaches Abraham with a command and a promise. Here's what you need to do, and here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you need to do. You need to leave everything that you know. You need to leave this city that you live in. You need to leave your family. You need to take your immediate family, and you need to hit the road. And I'm not telling you anything else. But here's my promise. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to bless your socks off. You're going to become a nation. You have no children now, but I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm taking your home and everything that makes you feel comfortable and secure. I'm going to bless you with so much more than that. Believe me. Trust me. You may be obscure right now. You may be unknown. But one day everybody's going to know who you are. And through you, bringing my blessing to everybody. What a promise. But he had to leave everything that he knew. And I would suggest that Abraham obeyed God's command because he believed God's promise. He believed not only that God exists and has the right to tell him what to do, but also that God really did intend to bless him. It says he willingly lived in tents. I think they should give credit to Sarah for that. I mean, Sarah willingly went with him and lived in tents for years. They didn't come from that. They didn't come from nomadic lifestyle. They left a city and became nomads. That's a big deal. Even back then. But they were trusting God would one day deliver on his promise to give them another city whose architect and builder is God. So let's not forget Sarah. When God makes this promise, there's a couple major problems. And I'm just going to remind you, you know the story, a lot of you, but there were major problems they would have to overcome. God made this promise, but Abraham and Sarah, how old were they when he made the promise? Abraham is 75 and Sarah is 65. Even back then, that was too old to be having kids. That was too old to be having a baby. I mean, try to imagine if you are the age of being able to have grandkids, or if you're younger, think about your grandmother. You know, she doesn't feel great one day. She goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you know, I think you might be pregnant. I imagine if you are grandmother age getting that kind of notice. I mean, what do you think? Mom? You're having a baby. I think you'd have trouble believing that. Like, you're going to have to show me an ultrasound. You're going to have to show me this baby inside of me, like, live, real time. I am not buying that. That would take a lot of adjustment. Are you serious? I'm having a baby. But really, they weren't going to have a baby just yet. They weren't old enough yet. This promise didn't happen for another 25 years. 25 years. So how old are they now? Anybody math whizzes? Come on, how old are they? 65 and 75, add 25 to that. They are 90 and 100. We got some wind coming now. That's okay. We won't be outside forever, I promise. But for now, we are. They were 90 and 100 when this promise was fulfilled. God gave them a son. Wow. So we've seen Abel, we've seen Noah, Enoch, Abraham. There's more coming. But there's a summary section that I also think is really important in this chapter. It's verses 13 to 16. And this is really essential to our understanding of faith. That listen to how things worked out for them. Verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted they were aliens and strangers on earth. Abraham didn't see his family become a nation. He didn't see the whole world being blessed because of him. He only saw these promises from a distance. Aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show they're looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they'd left, like Abraham, boy, I wish I could go back there. No, he would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is important. Even though they did not receive the promises fully, they never lost their faith. They died believing, not yet having received the promises. So question is, what does faith do when the promise goes unfulfilled? What does faith do when I don't get what I think God should be giving me? And I would like to put it this way. Unshakable faith holds on to an eternal point of view. You want unshakable faith? You've got to have an eternal point of view. I don't need it right now. Now, God's promises sometimes take a really, really long time to be fulfilled. And we have a sale going on over here on our screen. Live stream audience can't see that, but the wind is really, like, if you want to pull up anchor, we could really take off right now. unshakable faith holds on to an eternal point of view. God's promises take a long time sometimes. Sometimes they take multiple generations. We can see that in the Bible, but how do we do when it's in our lives, right? I mean, you can look back and see it all fulfilled, but sometimes his promises take generations. How do we handle that as Americans in the 21st century? How do we handle a generational view of God's promise keeping right now? I mean, I want my prayers answered in the time it takes me to pop my Pop-Tart in the morning. I mean, I had enough time to say it. God's strong enough to do it. Why do I have to wait any longer than that? Isn't that how we look at it sometimes? God, where are you? I said it already. Why are you not keeping my promise? Isn't that the spirit that leads to disappointment with God? He's got to function on my timetable. He doesn't have to function on my timetable. Does he have to give us everything we ask for right away? Of course not. Of course not. But I will tell you, if God makes a promise, he will keep it. He will keep it. But if he hasn't said when, we can't hold him to a when. Could be a long time from now. Noah, you know how long it was before that flood came that he told him about? Anybody know? 100 years. 100 years it took him to build that ark and for that storm to finally come. 100 years. Abraham and Sarah wait 25 years for Isaac. They're already 65 and 75. And because they waited so long, as they're waiting, they started to question. They're like, well, maybe we're not getting it right. I wonder if we maybe missed what God meant. I mean, they waited several years and God still hadn't given them a son. So they started to think, well, what about, maybe there's some other ways we can help God figure this out. So Sarah offers her servant Hagar to Abraham. He says, well, I think you're still of age that could bear children, so maybe that's what God meant. That's not what God meant. That's not what God meant. They did have a baby that way, but that wasn't the promised baby. The promised baby would still come. You'd think that sometimes you act out of a lack of faith like they did at that point. God would say, hey, sorry, you just missed out on the promise. You go your own way, you're going to get your own thing. But they still got the promise. They still got the baby. God made a promise. God's going to keep his promises. But their son was just the beginning of this incredible fulfillment that God had promised. They didn't get to see the whole thing. They just got to see a glimpse. You know, that God is faithful. It's beginning, and it's going to keep going. So they had some lapses in their faith, but ultimately, they're both in this. Abraham and Sarah are both in this hall of faith. I would suggest that instant gratification is kind of a curse in our culture. We can instantly gratify ourselves with so much. I can have my Pop-Tart in 3.5 seconds if I want it. That's how long it takes to microwave a Pop-Tart. Instant gratification is a curse because it has conditioned us to, rather than wait patiently for the best, we content ourselves with less. And just an example, this is maybe for more the adults in the room or watching online, but how many people do you know dream of a place out in the country? They got a nice house, they got a few acres, and that's their dream. And that's what they get out of town, you know, get out of the city and just have this nice place. It's quiet. Maybe there's a stream running through. People in Hebrews 11, they're not dreaming about that. They're not dreaming of a place in the country. They're dreaming of a country of their own. Did you see that? Verse 14. People who say such things show they're looking for a country of their own. Verse 16, instead they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God. He's prepared a city for them. They're confident in God's promises, not in their little dreams. God's big promises, and sometimes they extend out pretty far. God wants us to long for a lot more than what we can make happen on our own. Imagine having a Christmas where all of the gifts that you got, you ordered yourself on Amazon, and they came in the mail. You paid for them out of your own bank account, and you open them up on Christmas Day. Would that be an exciting Christmas? God is our benefactor, and he has gifts for us. He has incredible gifts for us that we cannot afford on our own. These people are longing for a country and a city whose architect and builder is God. We want unshakable faith. We gotta have an eternal point of view. Don't settle for instant gratification. God has a lot more for us than that. A heavenly country, a heavenly city, living with God in paradise. Those are the ultimate objects of our faith. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're longing for. That's what every believer in Jesus can confidently look forward to. But just like those faith-filled believers from 4,000 years ago that are listed in Hebrews 11, just like them, we only see those promises and welcome them from a distance. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. Our family is reading a story. It's a novel, but it's based on real people. It's about a man named Ben, who's this super successful businessman, according to the world standard, of course. He's got all the money he could want. He's in line to become next CEO of his company. I mean, he has made it. He's got the world wrapped around his finger, except he's lost his family in the process. He's made it, but his life is empty. And so then he reconnects with his old college roommate, who lives such a different life. His college roommate moved back to China after graduating college, and his name is Lee Kwan, and this guy lives in poverty. He is persecuted for his faith, and yet as Ben spends time with him and gets to know him over a period of weeks, clearly this guy has not made it. I mean, he is broke. He has nothing. Little tiny hut, dirt floor, like not much. But Ben, as he sees him and watches his life, he begins to feel this awkward jealousy that this man, this his old roommate, has something he doesn't have. He seems to be full in a way Ben has not been able to achieve. And it's just this picture of the different choices we have to make, what we pursue. Lee Kwan's secret is an eternal perspective and the settled confidence in God. So faith is confidence in God. Anyone who believes in God is more naturally able to accept crazy things that happen that don't make sense. There's a tapestry going on that's far bigger than just my life. I can see that. I have confidence in God. When my world is shaking, God's world is stable, and I can trust in that. I can trust in him. But it's more than confidence in God. God-pleasing faith is confidence in God's benevolence, right? That God wants to bless me. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and everybody else listed in this chapter believed God would bless them. Do you believe that? Do you have that kind of faith, that God wants to bless you? Do you think that way? We're not writing the rules. We're not laying out the parameters for how God is going to bless us. We don't order God around as if he's some kind of divine slot machine just waiting to nail us with a jackpot. Like, that's not. God decides how he'll bless us. Our part is believing that he will. And then it will be good. So do you approach God with that kind of confidence that by his nature, he will bless you? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So important. If your relationship with God is built on fear, I do that because I'm afraid of what God might do if I don't. God's not pleased with that. That's not what he's looking for. That's not how he wants us to approach him. I don't want my kids to be afraid of me. I want them to trust me enough to confide in me, to talk to me, believe in the things that concern them, believing that I have the best in mind for them. I want to help if I can. I want my kids to trust me, not be afraid of me. Respect me, sure. But I want that kind of relationship, that kind of trust, and God wants that with us. That's what verse 6 is saying. We got to believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Wants us to trust him enough. We're going to bring our stuff to him because we believe he will help us. But there's an important piece to that because remember the eternal perspective part. He's not just going to do what we want him to do. He's not just going to fix this problem necessarily right now. I don't need instant gratification. I'm looking for a country of my own. I'm looking for those bigger blessings that I can't get by myself. So this is faith, and this is the journey we're on, right? Our faith is growing, and we're moving. Hopefully, we're moving in our faith. We're growing, and it comes with bumps. So part of this chapter, looking at verse 13 to 16, these people didn't get the things promised. It prepares our faith for disappointment when things don't happen the way we thought they should. If you walk with God long enough, you're going to face disappointment. Things that you were convinced he should do, but sometimes he doesn't. And those disappointments, those moments, those big deals in our lives, that's a huge juncture in our faith journey. Because a lot of people just turn away from God when that happens. Other people draw near and they trust him deeper. And that's what God wants. When your faith is really tested, he wants to draw you near. So what are you doing when your prayer goes unanswered, when God doesn't do what you were so sure he would do? I think about people, and my wife's parents were just in town. They were heading back to Africa. They have served God in Zambia for decades. And as I think about people who face disappointment with God, their names come to the top of my list. Because they gave everything to God. They went to Africa. They gave him their whole lives. And now all their kids are having grandkids, and they've missed so much of their family because they said, you know what? We're serving God in his kingdom. That's what he wants us to do. And they face so much disappointment, so much of it being among coworkers where just people come, they make promises, and then it just shatters. It just disappears. It vaporizes in front of them. All these hopes that they have, they face a lot of disappointment, a lot of hurt, a lot of hardship. They're still walking by faith. They face a lot of blessing too. They face some incredible terms where so many people are coming to Jesus, and people from villages all over Africa are coming, say, you need to come, you need to come. And so they've seen a lot of amazing, really cool things too, but they face a lot of hurt, a lot of disappointment. God wants to prepare us for that because it's coming. It's coming. 1 Peter 1:7 tells us, trials come as part of God's refining process in us. What is God refining? Our faith. It's one of the most important things to him is our faith. It's how we keep an intimacy with him. That's what God is up to. We got to be willing and allow him to do that. We're in a time when, man, there's a lot of trials. There are a lot of hardships. There are a lot of things going on, whether it's COVID related or not, that God is taking us deeper. We got to have the faith that has an eternal point of view. God is a heavenly country, a heavenly city. He has good plans. The tapestry's bigger than just my life. So in that, understanding that, we can watch for those glimpses. Here's a glimpse. God is still working. Abraham and Sarah, baby Isaac. AJ, baby Isaac. That was an answer to prayer too, right? You know, we watch for those glimpses. Okay, God is still working. He just answered that prayer. He is working. I don't know when it's ultimately going to be fulfilled, but we watch for those glimpses because that boosts our faith too. We're praying for David. He's got some kind of major issue in his heart. We prayed. They went in. They looked and like, oh, okay, well, that problem's not actually there. We're all, yes, thank you, God. But we're on a journey. God's taking our faith, and he's making it more, making it bigger, making it deeper. So look for those glimpses. Abraham and Sarah had those glimpses. You're getting those glimpses. God is at work. How do you see it? When I get to the end of my life, I want to be in this hall of faith. It was started in Genesis, but it's not finished. The hall of faith is still being written, and you can be in this hall of faith. I want to be in it. I want to be in it because it's going to keep being written until Jesus comes. So I need God to form in me that kind of faith because I waver. Abraham and Sarah wavered. Of course we're going to waver, but God wants to take us deeper. I want to be fully confident in God. He's always working out his good plans for my life. So this is the first half of Hebrews 11. What part of it you need to spend some more time in? Verse 6, verse 1, one of these characters maybe. But examine your faith. Kids, ask your parents to read you one of these stories in the Old Testament. But for next steps, I just want you to think about a couple things. One, examine your faith. Do you have confidence in God? Confidence in his goodness. You have an eternal point of view on things. Examine your faith throughout this week. Take some more time in Hebrews 11. And then this other aspect, when God doesn't do what I want. How does that affect your faith? Is your faith really tipsy? Or is it getting more and more stable? That eternal perspective, bigger picture, tapestry going on. And then the last thing, just what are those glimpses that God's given you? He's still at work. We got to take note of those things. And over this last year, what has God done? How have you seen God at work? We want to take time to celebrate that. Write it down. Share it with other people. So Hebrews 11, this is the Hall of Faith. We want to be part of this Hall of Faith. So take the next minute to think about, okay, God, what do you want me to do this week? What do you want me to do with this? Where do you want me to dig a little bit deeper? And then we're going to share a song that is just, it's just a blessing. God's blessing to us. So right now, just consider your faith and where God wants to take you. God, I just want to pray for every person who's here, who's physically under this pavilion, and the way that you're working in their heart. Everyone here is on a journey of faith, and you desire to shape that and to deepen it and strengthen it. So God, I pray that you're doing that right now, not just this morning, this moment, but in the experiences they're having and the life that they're living and the hardships and the blessings, God, that you take them deeper with you. And Lord, for all the people that are online, a whole bunch of people responded to the faith question, define faith. There's a lot of people who are listening right now who are at home and they're going through stuff. And so Lord, for all of them, God, I pray that you'll take us where you want us to go. Journey of faith is the most important journey we have. So Lord, I know there are some who are afraid, some who are discouraged, some who are distracted and lost. God, I pray that you'll bring us close. Bring us close to you. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen our faith that believes that you have what's best in mind for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the song that we want to share now is due to copyright reasons, we're not going to play it on the live stream. So I just want you guys, if you're watching online, just go to YouTube right now. And for the next few minutes, we're going to play something here that you're going to have to look up on YouTube and play. It's called The Blessing, and it's the UK version. So just go to YouTube, type The Blessing UK. And this is a song that Shannon talked to me about weeks ago, that it kind of came out in the middle of COVID as it was happening. And the people who wrote it just wanted God's people to know that God intends to bless. And it comes from the priestly blessing from Numbers that the priest would give to God's people. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be merciful to you, give you peace. And this is the UK version. I love the video that goes with this because this is churches all over the UK who've come together, worship leaders, musicians, people, adults, like of all different stripes and ages and types. And so just all these people are just singing out. And you just see the variety of God's people in God's church. And so this is a song that I'm not going to have the lyrics up for you. I just want you to kind of take it in. And if there's parts, there's some amen kind of choruses. You want to sing along. But you can stay in your seats and just remember this is God's heart for his people. And this is God's heart for, this is what he wants for every person on the planet. He wants to bless us, and we've got to put our trust in him. Can't please him unless we believe he wants what's best for us. So I hope you just receive this as God's heart for you.
Before we end today, I wanted to take a minute to pray. Because God is for us, and we got some people who are not here right now who are struggling. Some people who are here who've got some real struggles. And so I've asked Linda. She's one of our prayer warriors. She's part of our Wednesday prayer group and just loves God, loves people, and loves to pray. So, Linda, would you come up and pray and just share who it is that we want to lift up today?
All I can say is, wow, that song, the group, and it was just wonderful. Yeah, I have a couple notes here. Thank you for all of you who prayed for my brother who's sitting right here. He's from Reading. And he's visiting with us today. His church isn't open yet, so he wanted very much to come with us, come with me today and meet you all, and to thank you for the prayers that you prayed for him. We went down to Florida for some specialists to see him, and they still don't know what his heart problem is, but they've eliminated a few things, so we're thankful that we have that knowledge. And he'll be doing some visiting with some doctors up here. So he's my dear brother. He's my baby brother. And I'm glad to have him here. And thank you again for your prayers. I love that song there because it just shows faith throughout the world. We have it in common. Here we are all these individual people, but living in Kutztown. But all throughout the world, there are others with the same faith that we have. And that is so wonderful. And we pray because we have faith that God is hearing our prayers. So that's what we're going to do in just a minute. Just before we go to prayer, I wanted to read something about Oswald Chambers, someone who I like to quote sometimes. Oswald Chambers, a Christian that lived, I don't know, when would you say, 1800s, maybe 1900s, somewhere around there.
A long time ago.
He wrote this. Jesus Christ carries on intercession for us in heaven. The Holy Spirit carries on intercession in us on earth. And we, the saints, have to carry on intercession for others. So we're going to pray for some others. We're going to have some pictures up here. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer right now, okay, for them. We're doing this because Galatians tells us, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We pray for each other. We're all going to have burdens. If you don't have a burden now, you'll get one. And you'll be very thankful when people are praying for you. So we're going to pray for them now. So we have Sarah and Craig and their family. And their last name is Kite, the Kites. Sarah's going through cancer treatments right now, so we want to pray for her. Alicia and Mark, you probably know them. I don't know their last name very well. Kerchesky, I know who Alicia is. And they have had COVID. Mark is improving, but he does have asthma condition, which makes it, you know, worse for him. So we'll pray for them. And Sony's here, and she has some prayer requests as well. And we'll pray for my brother, okay? Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that you've given us faith to believe in what we don't see, but we know it's true. Because you've put that Holy Spirit in us, and it gives us confidence in you, and that you want what is best for us. So we bring these loved ones to your throne right now and pray for them. We pray for Sarah and Craig and their family as Sarah goes through the chemo treatment process. We pray, Father, that you would just make her body strong and may the cancer be completely removed from her body and that she'll have a full recovery. Pray for them as they do all the things that have to be done in the family to keep things going. We pray also for Alicia and Mark as they have the COVID. And we pray for any others that we don't know of, but you know, that have this as well. And we pray for healing there. We pray for Sony, who's going to Kutztown University and is faced with some physical problems of her own. for her family issues. She has some sick people in the family, and also a daughter who has just gone out of state. And we want to pray for her daughter, Lord, that you be with her and guide her while she's away. And Lord, I thank you for pulling my brother through the episodes that he's had with his heart. And Lord, that he's here today and he is going to get some more help. Lord, I pray you guide the doctors, direct them so that we know what the true diagnosis is and what the root cause of his problem is. Lord, we thank you for this group of people. We thank you for people all over the world that love you, that know you, and are looking forward to you coming again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Linda. Questions for us?
Good morning, everybody. Sorry, I'm a little distracted because my phone was dying for the live stream. So I unplugged the audio so they heard all the audio. So,
okay.
Whoops. But, okay. So this week, coming up, we still have our offering box out here, and you can still give online or mail a check if you'd like. We don't pass a plate, can't now, and we never have, so that's how you can give. And also, just so you guys know, our annual family meeting that we do is coming up on October 11th. That'll be here, right? Yep. After the service. Yep. So hope you guys will be able to join us. I don't know, is there going to be Zoom option, or
we're still figuring that out.
So
we'll let you know.
Online people, if you can't come here, we'll try and figure it out. But I know Nate said in his email an option to sit further away. So maybe if you'd be interested in coming to the family meeting in that way too, that's always an option. So we hope you guys will be able to join us for that. And Nate's gonna do a last announcement.
I just get the last word today, so we've gone a little bit longer than usual, but I do want to throw out for Mark and Alicia, as they're going through COVID, if you want to help it with meals, we've got several people already signed up, but that's one way to practically serve. They're exhausted, they're drained. And so if you want to love them that way, you can. But the last thing I want to mention is next Sunday. What's going on next Sunday? We have a guest speaker who's coming, and I believe I sent an email out about this, but I'm not going to give a lot of details because on the live stream, his ministry is kind of undercover. So we can't go public with that stuff. So there's a guy who's coming, who he's been here before, and we've served alongside of him. Some of you are serving and giving to his ministry and to the people he's serving. So that's been going on. Some of you can figure out who this is we're talking about, but he's going to be talking from Scripture. That'll be on the live stream. What will not be on the live stream is his update about what's going on in the country he serves in. He's hoping to be back there a month from now. But that will not be on the live stream. We will cut the live stream at that point. He's going to share some more maybe sensitive information about what's going on. So those of you on live stream, if you really want to be part of that, just want to kind of make it an option. If you want to come either at the end of the service or at the beginning, we have a pavilion, but there's also another pavilion behind us. Nobody's in. There's also a sunny spot over here that nobody's in. So if you want to come and hear that, it will not be on the live stream. It will not be on video or anything. You can come and keep super distant if you would like to do that. So that's an option. I just want to throw that out there. If you're on the outskirts, we promise we will not attack you and hug you and do anything like that. We'll honor your desire to stay distant. That's right. Everybody, right? Okay. We got three people that said yes and everyone else nodded. So if you want to come, that's next Sunday, this coming Sunday at normal time, 10:30, come and we're going to hear from a faithful servant of God who is serving in a difficult place. And in these third world countries, life is really hard right now. So we're going to hear about that. Your hearts are going to be prompted to want to pray for them a little bit more than maybe we do now. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of the live stream. Thank you guys for coming here and being actually with us so we can actually see each other. And I hope you guys have a terrific day.